new building.
Bill might mention something. We have potentially scheduled this week for the parking to go in around the new building. And it looks like we're going to be able to do the entirety of the parking that we'd like to do all the way around the building, so that hopefully nobody will have to park up front and walk back there. Depending on the weather, pray for that. Fortunately, God's in charge of the weather. But if all goes according to potential plans, they'll come out and start Tuesday, and we'll have the work done by Friday is the plan. In that respect, just for your information. That's the new building here. That's big red here. Parking in this respect, coming down the drive, would be this direction, and we want you to, the way it'll be set up, just go make your drive around this direction. Right here in front of the building, the new building, it's going to be designated a handicap. So our two handicap vans that we have previously, they have all rights to parking there only. Hopefully there'll be enough room that maybe if they're parked, people can still drive through, drop somebody off. But the important thing is to keep our flow of traffic going this direction at all times, so that the only two-way would be from the driveway up. The parking itself will be facing out from the property all the way around, including the back. No parking in the drive coming down this way. Also, we're hopefully we'll have enough parking right here in front of the new old building, which eventually will come down. We're going to have additional parking there. But for maybe some of our more mature members who have trouble walking and stuff, we'll give them advantage of being a little closer to the building that way. We'll have to work that out by ear, but we'll try. But that's the plans. Keep it in your prayer. The potential is if we can get together, and this is going to come together, and we get enough people out here next Saturday, we can transfer the stuff we have in our prep school out there. The rest of the building is set up. It's ready to go. The tape room, the podium, the main auditorium's got its desk and chairs all set up, speakers. And potentially we could have our next class out there next Sunday if God blesses the weather for us this week. So keep that in your prayers. All right. Make sure you're in fellowship here as we'll believe it when we see it. Make sure you're in fellowship as Paul here is now dealing with the dynamics, the inner dynamics of having plus H as an adjusted believer. In verse 16, following the imperative of rejoice always. And in that regard, obviously, that's dependent upon the believer maintaining isolation of the STA, fellowship, being in fellowship, filled with the Holy Spirit, as well as resident Bible doctrine, and keeping their eyes focused on their own spiritual advance, their own spiritual growth. And the SG3, the promises of SG3, that is there for those believers who will pursue plus H otherwise in this regard. Now, in complete support of plus H and as part of the litmus test of one who is acid test in regards to one who is pursuing plus H is seen in their prayer life. That's the emphasis of verses 17 and 18. Verse 17, pray without ceasing as it begins. And that looks at the fact that the believer seeking to have plus H, maintain plus H, has a healthy prayer life. And just as a plus H is always available, so is their prayer life always in focus, if you will, at any given point in time, naturally, easily. They look to God for all their concerns, for testings that's going on around their life. Otherwise, the encouragement and comfort that He provides in regards to our communion with Him. And again, these things done in fellowship according to the dictates of Bible doctrine. And in that way, obviously, we can maintain our right focus in communion with God. And as Christ says, not lose heart in regards to our own Christian life. Now, the third command, where we left off, verse 18a, in everything give thanks. That's point 35. The third command, in everything give thanks, which is in pos. Eucharisteo indicates a prayer life that is saturated with gratitude to God. obviously, you've got to have a healthy prayer life. That also, your prayer life must have proper emphasis, proper priority in regards to your prayer life. And that, in and of itself, reflects one's attitude. So, 36, again, we have a common command found throughout the New Testament. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Paul, therefore, brings out the protocol, the proper protocol, praying to the Father is through Jesus Christ, in His name. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Confer Romans 14:6. He who observes the day, observes it for the Lord. He who eats, does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. He is just a believer. And he who eats for the Lord, he does not eat for the Lord. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. In regards to one's attitude with respect to that which they partake. 1 Corinthians 14, 16, and 17. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks? In regards to one who prays in a tongue, people don't understand the foreign language that they're speaking in. Since he does not know what you are saying, for you are giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. So thanksgiving is part, in part for the edification of not only yourself, but others in regards to communication of doctrine. 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also joining in helping us through your prayers in regards to Paul and company and their tests they underwent in their ministry, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. 4:15, 2 Corinthians. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. So thanksgiving is found in grace, in one's appreciation of the grace of God. 9:11 through 15. Regards to giving, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality or generosity, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God in support of the ministry. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the need of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. The application of doctrine and the evidence of support of Paul's volition for Bible doctrine and the communication of it is a reason for many thanks. Because of the evidence of this ministry, they will glorify God over the obedience of your confession of the gospel of Christ and over the liberality of your contribution to them and to all in regards to those whom they make application towards otherwise, financially, and these things, while they also, by prayer of your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And that is ultimate thanks in regards to the person of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:4. And there should be no filthiness, or coarse jesting, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Instead of those things not edifying, those things that should be edifying, looking at the grace of God and our plan of and His plan of salvation for each and every one of us. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So thanksgiving should tailor all of our prayer. Colossians 2:7. walking in Christ, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. The proper mental attitude in regards to what God provides with respect to ministry of the local church, communication of doctrine, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful, see. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. In spite of the evil around us, to be thankful otherwise that God still provides us with basically a society of which we can freely assemble ourselves together for the pursuing God's plan for our life and otherwise. 1 Timothy 4, 3-5. In regards to the legalism of religious types, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth, noting the gratitude once again of all that God provides under the freedoms of Christ. We're not under the law, etc. For everything, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. There's no dietary code anymore, as is the Mosaic law. In regards to believer priests, we can eat whatever food it is, whether you want to eat the worms of you see a guy do on TV or what, that's your business. Just keep it on your own plate, would you? Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified, set apart, by means of the Word of God and prayer. Asking God to sanctify your food, whatever your diet may consist of. So, 37, again, Paul practiced what he preached. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, as we saw earlier, in regards to Thessalonians, always giving thanks with respect to their polity volition, that local church. Also 2:13, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of man, for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So, thanksgiving for positive volition, being thankful that these people embrace the truth and they recognize where it really comes from. It's not some yahoo up there, you know, just coming up with his own ideas. He's truly proclaiming God's word to them. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Their witness, the domino effect of witness to positive volition to others, etc. 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God always concerning you, the church of Corinth. He's still thankful for them in spite of all their problems. For the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. And starting in regard to the truths of salvation positionally. And other places he's thankful in regards to each of the churches, basically to the epistles that we have recorded for us in the New Testament. 38, to sustain the proper mental attitude, plus age, demands, obviously, that we exert effort on our part in our prayer life to recount all the blessings that come as a part of being positive. To be thankful doesn't mean that automatically these things are going to just be there in our thinking. You've got to concentrate on it. You've got to put some effort into it at times in regards to considering the things that's going on in your life. And if it doesn't point to anything else, it points out the fact we are to consider these things. See? We should think about these things. And that takes mental effort. You've got to sit there and you go through the list of doctrine and things that God's done in regards to the plan of salvation for you, for others, and other things going on in regards to your life. These areas that we're covering, obviously, are in general, but all the specifics that can spur off of that can be endless, truly. if you put it down in reality, in regards to God's grace and all that He provides for us. And that means you got to sit down and you got to think about it. See, when regards to your prayers, especially your formal prayers, obviously you should consider how you pray, how it begins, and your priorities in regards to your prayer, the areas that you need to cover, and within all those things, it's all saturated and tempered with thanksgiving. See. So, again, point 38, to sustain the proper mental attitude of plus age, to have this inner dynamic, this lack of discord in one's thinking, demands that we exert effort on our part in our prayer life to recount all the blessings that come as a part of being positive. Prayer demands effort. It's not like every time you just sit down and you just always feel like praying. See, doctrine is about how you feel. Doctrine is about Bible doctrine and what you need to do in regards to doctrine. So, if you don't have the discipline, you don't have exert the energy, you don't exert the effort, then you don't have the reality of what Paul is teaching in this respect. So, 39, your mental attitude is determined by how and what you think and focus on. Focuses on the energy of the flesh, things of the flesh, then that's what your mental attitude is all about. It's on Bible doctrine. It's on those things of which Bible doctrine provides in regards to holding to the promises of doctrine and all these things. Then, and that's what you're focused on. Then that's going to govern your mental attitude. The doctrine of the blatantly obvious. See. 40, the adjusted believer should find reason to praise and thank God in whatever situation one finds themselves, and thus at all times. Thankful that God still gives you a breath to continue on in regards to running your course in life. That He isn't calling you to task right now. At this point in time in history. Saying, okay, it's over. You're gonna get what you did. Especially if you have room to grow. To all that He provides for us to continue to fulfill His plan for our life. So 41, this is because believers should readily recognize that God is always in control and that even adversity has beneficial purpose. Again, as we brought out in regards to testing, Romans 8:28. Proclaims it succinctly and distinctly in regards to God on behalf of positive volition. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good, with the caveat to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, in regards to the doctrine that He provides in this respect. And they respond in appreciation and orientation to it in a term of love. So everything, all things, are for the good of positive volition, especially because they benefit from that. It enhances their life spiritually and for all eternity. 1 Peter 4:12-19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. The weirdness of the SCA, and the SCA can be weird, negative volition. But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. Noting the dynamics of God, the Holy Spirit, within the believer in fellowship and application of doctrine. And that God's with you. Let's see. Continuing, by no means let any of you suffer as a murderer, thief, or evil doer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. It begins with us first. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And that judgment begins at the Bema seat. See, it begins with us. For our works and people that don't line up. If it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Faith resting, recognizing that God is in control of all things, and that He will bring every aspect of His Word to fruition, including all the promises that He makes to believers who line up and do it right, beginning with phase one, saving faith, as well as phase two. So 42, no matter the circumstances, whether it might be persecution, health tests, sickness, etc., we ought to be able to give thanks to God if for nothing else, the grace to endure for one's own spiritual benefit, to continue to crank out divine good production, to advance ourselves spiritually in our thinking, enhancing our SG3 package, you know, all these things. The witness to others around us, the opportunity to continue to serve God. Again, when this life is over, all opportunity ceases in that respect. And we will be translated into what we were in time in regards to our eternal life niche. So the grace, always thankful for the grace. How many times you walk in to teach Bible class and you tell God you're not worthy, but His Son is. And thank you for His cloak to ride on. You know, the grace. And that is probably one thing, one of the things that definitely idealizes adjusted churches. And that is their orientation and concept of grace. And that appreciation of it. So 43, Paul concludes a set of exhortations here now by explaining why believers should adhere to the teaching. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 44, the near demonstrative pronoun this, which is houtos in the Greek, in the singular, looks to the collective package of exhortations for plus age, praying, and giving thanks. It glues them all together in one lump sum of application. So 45, as we have seen, these things go hand in hand. And the former is dependent upon the latter for maximum results. You're not going to have this type of inner dynamic if you don't have a healthy prayer life, and if that healthy prayer life doesn't focus in regards to the grace of God in regards to your own life and the lives of others around you, and life itself. So 46, God's will here, which is philema in the Greek, is His directive will. Again, it's obvious. For all those that desire to maximize their phase 2 growth and blessing. Plus H is part of blessing in time. To have this inner happiness, this inner contentment, this RMA, relaxed mental attitude. The ability to faith rest, not wrap around the axle over every little thing that happens in your life, see, as the rest of the world likes to swim in their emotional misery and anxieties. We don't have to. As one of the things in regards to tests like Faith Bible Church and you know, that part of the country facing that storm and hearing emails from them, talking to them, and hearing the faith rest in their voices, the calm. God's got it all under control. If he wipes us out, he wipes us out. What are you going to do? You know? Everybody else is, you know, wringing their hands or getting drunk so they can pass out so they don't have to face it or whatever. You know? So God's directed will, that which he wants us to think, say, and do, that over his permissive will, allowing us to do otherwise. That is the call in regards to plus age. To have plus age is not supposed to be an optional doctrine. It is a royal imperative. If you don't have it, you're out of line doctrinally. See, it's that easy. It's that straightforward. If you're miserable under self-induced misery or whatever else, that's your problem with your SCA. Otherwise, plus age is available freely. So 47, these simple commands are a part of a larger complex, obviously, of royal imperatives that we are to do to realize our phase 3 or phase 2 sanctification. It's part of the package. Again, as we saw back in 4, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the will of God, and there is to abstain from sexual immorality. Controlling your phallic urges that are not in line with doctrine, as an example. So, obviously, we know there's close to 1,500 royal imperatives in the New Testament. So, it's part of the larger complex, that which we are to align ourselves with in our thinking and applications. 48, for plus age and a successful prayer life to be a reality, demands that we pursue God's directive will, seeking to avoid falling under his permissive will. 49, the final phrase, in Christ Jesus, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, emphasizes the fact that it is our position in him that makes all that God has for us possible. The fact of what Christ accomplished on the cross allows us to deal with our sin nature in time. It doesn't have to rule over us in time experientially. Unrighteous fear doesn't have to govern our thinking. And all these things, that we can overrule it. And we can get in fellowship because God the Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us. And that God provides the doctrine, which is the mind of Christ in regards to our own thinking, for our orientation in regards to these things. And that's all made possible through his person and work on the cross, and it becomes part of the package of the saving faith. Now, are you going to exploit that? Are you going to take benefit of it in phase 2? See, and follow his directive will. And whereas he released you, obviously, there should be a great joy recognizing, I'm not going to go to hell. You know, when I die, I'm not going to hell. That's something you can always be thankful if you know a person is a believer, no matter what they are or otherwise. Always be thankful. I'll see you again. See. Not going to hell. And then, you know, how long will that last in regards to your orientation and maintaining that proper attitude? Well, that depends on what you do with your phase 2. What you do in regards to being a son of God, a child of God now, and taking benefit of that experientially. So 50, too much time is spent under the STA during stressful and difficult circumstances. We need to better learn how to handle things that go against the desires of the natural man of the STA. And that all comes through, obviously, dedication to prayer, our spiritual growth, and our focus, and all these things. All right? Now moving on to the final list of exhortations here in regards to instruction to the church, this local church. as Paul now will deal or address regarding, as I've titled it, regarding the dynamics of the Holy Spirit and communication of Bible doctrine. Verses 19 through 22. Looking at the Greek here. He begins, verse 19, in this subject matter, do not quench the Spirit. He had the negative may, and he plus the imperative, present active, imperative, second person plural of our verb translated quench, spenumi, S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. Do not quench, put out a fire or a lamp. Figuratively, that's literally. Figuratively, it means do not stifle, suppress, or restrain. Metaphorically, it means do not cause to cease or thwart or block. It's used six times. And here, the object of quenching is the Spirit. You have our noun for Spirit with the definite article, obvious reference to the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, to pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And so we must see how can you quench the Spirit. Verse 20, second imperative, all within the realm of this first negative imperative of quenching, not quenching the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances. Negative may again, M-E plus, our verb here to despise, present active imperative of exu theneo, E-X-O-U-T-H-E-N-E-O, means despise, disdain, disregard, treat with contempt. Be a good translation. It's used 11 times. And what they are not to treat with contempt here is literally prophecy, translated prophetic utterances. We have our noun, accusative feminine plural, prophetia. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-I-A. Prophecy, it emphasizes the content. Hence, prophetic utterances, prophetic words, used 19 times. Verse 21, now he switches from, again, a negative emphasis to a positive, but examine everything, as the New American Standard adds, carefully. You have the conjunction that, now or but, followed with our next imperative, present active, of the verb dokimazo, D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. Examine, put to the test, analyze. It was used back in chapter 2, verse 4, two times there. Approved and examines. But just as we've been approved, as dokimazo, by God to be trusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines, dokimazo repeated, our hearts. But examine here, the examination is everything. The object of critique is everything. It's accusative neuter plural of our adjective pas, all things, P-A-S. Next imperative, hold fast to that which is good. Present active imperative of kateko, K-A-T-E-C-H-O, to hold fast or possess. To have accordingly, compound sense of it. Here, the object of holding fast or possessing is that which is good. In the Greek, it's literally the good thing. The definite article with the adjective used pronominally here, accusative neuter singular of to kalos, K-A-L-O-S. This emphasizes that which is intrinsically good. And then verse 22, to finish it out, abstain from every form of evil. You have the imperative here, present middle voice here of op echo. We had a cot echo, and now we have op echo. Abstain from. A-P-E-C-H-O. It's the opposite of this. Cot echo. Abstain from every form of evil. It's followed with the preposition apo, A-P-O. Every is a singular of the adjective pos, adjective pos, P-A-S, repeated. Form of evil. Form is a noun, and these are all in ablative case here, following the preposition apo, takes the ablative. Is our noun eidos, E-I-D-O-S. That means form or appearance, that which is apparent. Here, every form or appearance of evil. Evil is your adjective, again used pronominally. Here in the genitive case, neuter singular of poneros. The term for evil is poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. This term emphasizes the influence of evil over its effect, or over its character, excuse me. The evil influence or effect over its character or nature. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. All right, we'll get started on this. Now this is verses 19 through 22. One, Paul finishes this section with five imperatives. Two, the first two are stated in the negative, not quenched, not despised. Contrasted by the final three stated in the positive, examine, hold fast, and abstain, to ensure protection against abuses related to the first two. Three, further verses 19 through 22 are one sentence in the Greek text, with verses 20 through 22 appealing to the primary subject of the Holy Spirit introduced in verse 19. This is part of the hermeneutics of interpretation, is maintaining context. And as it is in regards to the English language, you've got one sentence deals with generally a subject, unless there's connections in regards to it. There's a primary subject. And here, all these imperatives are part of one sentence in the Greek. And all the imperatives following the first one, do not quench the spirit, ride on the theme or the subject of quenching the spirit. It appeals to that in regards to a full appreciation of what he's bringing out. So in addition, these verses are part of the paragraph that began in verse 16. Verses 16 through 22 is one paragraph. And you have this particular sentence ending the paragraph. So the imperatives here target individual application. What this emphasizes, the imperatives target individual application rather than corporate, as with the preceding commands of verses 16 through 18. As we brought out, he changes there the emphasis to application in regards to self, over a corporate towards one another. B, the imperatives here retain their plural persons throughout to indicate no one individual in the local church is exempt from compliance. These imperatives are applicable to everyone, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a layman. C, the concept of plus age in verses 16 through 18 is further retained. That was the initial subject brought out in the paragraph. D, it is now complemented by highlighting the two essential ingredients for plus age to exist. That is, the filling of the Holy Spirit and Bible doctrine. Just as we brought out in the point 13 of our analysis of verse 16 through 18. Two essential ingredients to have plus age, filling of the Holy Spirit and Bible doctrine. And these verses complemented by, if you will, relating to these two essential ingredients. in either of these two essentials for plus H are addressed in verses 19 and 20 respectively in regards to the negative of not quenching the Spirit and not despising prophecy. F, verses 21 through 22, then additionally serve as specific applications to perpetuate plus H, as well as safeguarding the first two imperatives. The positive of verses 21 and 22 are part of protecting the alliance or the admonitions of not quenching and not despising, but examine instead, examine, hold fast and abstain. But they also serve to that to denote that which perpetuates plus H under the umbrella of the filling of the Holy Spirit and not quenching the Spirit and not despising prophecy. So you've got this kind of layer here of insight that is designed to be understood if you can think that deeply on regards to it. All right, five, now to get into it, to get into the meat of it. Five, the admonition, do not quench the Spirit, is an obvious reference to God the Holy Spirit. It's used with the definite article here, to pneuma. Six, the negative, do not quench, which is made spenumi, literally means to put out or extinguish a fire or wick of a lamp. It's used in that regard. Compare Matthew 25:8. Regards to the parable of the 10 virgins, and the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They used oil to, just as the old hurricane lamps that you'll see around houses, etc., to saturate the wicks, and it keeps them lit. So you see it used there in that respect, Mark 9:18. Miracles of those who are positive in the Old Testament, and these Hall of Famers here. Listen, Hebrews 11, speaking of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, the prophets, verse 32, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, through obviously the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's our term, quench the power of fire, escapes the edge of the sword for weakness, as God delivered in these cases, were made strong, became mighty war, put foreign armies to fight, etc. So it literally means to put it or extinguish, put out or extinguish a fire, or put out a lamp. Seven. In fact, apart from our verse, the verb is only used in the context of fire or burning flame, even in a figurative sense, even figuratively. It's always used in the context of fire or something burning. Matthew 12:20, the other two uses. A battered reed he will not break off, messianic Old Testament prophecy, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. using the figurative sense there. Also, Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. So again, we see this, it's always related to a fire or a burning or a flame. So 8, figuratively or metaphorically. Now the verb means to suppress, restrain, or impede. 9, its use in our verse is designed to envision the Holy Spirit following the metaphor of fire. The Holy Spirit following a metaphor of fire. All right, I'm just going to call it quits here. I've been cross. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask, Father, Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.